Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And as you just heard on the news, yesterday, Mayor de Blasio followed up on his campaign promise to adopt Vision Zero, an approach to traffic safety that starts from the premise that all traffic-related deaths are preventable. There have been 11 traffic-related deaths in the city already this year, including 7 pedestrians. At the site in Queens, where an 8-year-old boy was killed by a truck last month, the mayor announced the formation of an interagency working group and served notice that the city's speed cameras will start issuing tickets today. I am joined now by a longtime advocate of Vision Zero, Lindsay Ganson, Chief Operating Officer of Transportation Alternatives, a group that advocates for reduced private car use in the city. She was an author of a 2011 report put out by Transportation Alternatives and the Drum Major Institute called Vision Zero, How Safer Streets in New York City Can Save More Than 100 Lives a Year. Lindsay Ganson, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
So this concept, first of all, and we'll open up the phones on this in a minute, but Vision Zero, that the aim of government should be nothing less than to prevent all traffic deaths, it got started in Sweden, right?
It did, and it's actually been adopted since by American cities like Chicago, but also many states, over half a dozen states in the U.S. have Vision Zero plans for the state. So really, the country and the world is going in this direction.
Has it been successful in Sweden or anywhere else? Has anybody actually gotten to zero?
Well, I mean, I think the point is, to aim to zero, and that we should design our city and design our roads and hold ourselves as a city, as New Yorkers, accountable for our actions. You know, everybody makes mistakes. You know, everyone is no one's perfect. But at the end of the day, what Mayor de Blasio said yesterday was that the penalty for those mistakes should not be death or serious injury. That as a city, we are going to commit to designing our city so that nobody has to die or be seriously injured in traffic.
So, listeners, do you think we can approach Vision Zero in New York City? How much would have to change about driving to eliminate traffic deaths, and are you willing to participate? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Lindsay Ganson, Chief Operating Officer of Transportation Alternatives. How does New York City compare, by the way, to other cities in the numbers of traffic fatalities?
In terms of U.S. cities, when you control for population, New York City is the best. But we really are the best of the worst. When you look at major cities across the world, cities like Paris, Tokyo, Hong Kong, Dublin, Sydney, Berlin, they all have half the traffic deaths that New York City has. And especially they've done a much better job of protecting pedestrians and cyclists.
Because of certain policies, do you think?
Because of designing the roads to reduce speed, to keep drivers to a speed that makes it safer for pedestrians and cyclists. And because of enforcement cameras, because they hold drivers accountable for dangerous behaviors.
We all knew that Mayor de Blasio included Vision Zero in his campaign platform, but other than universal pre-K, I think this is his first major initiative in office. Were you surprised that he got it started so quickly?
I was surprised, but I was also extremely pleased. I mean, there's been a lot of violence recently that has broken through and made the news. And I think New Yorkers are starting to realize the scale. Something we talked about in the report was something we called the culture of acceptance, that in New York City, we accept that 300 people are going to die in traffic, that 10,000 pedestrians are going to be struck, that 3,000 people are going to be seriously injured, that 70,000 people are going to be injured. That's enough people to fill Madison Square Garden 3 times over. Are we going to accept that as a city? I think de Blasio is sending the message that we aren't, and that is something that was long overdue.
And the mayor, as we'll hear in this clip, takes this issue personally.
When I read about these tragedies and this loss of life, it's very personal for me because I can see it through the eyes of my fellow parents, and of course, every one of us thinks, what if that was my child? And that is, in fact, how we have to make public policy and how we have to implement public policy with the notion in mind, what if it was my child?
The mayor from a Streets blog video. So what actually takes effect today? Do you understand this new policy with respect to the speed cameras and how they'll issue tickets?
Yeah, I mean, what's going to happen today is that if you speed and you happen to be where one of only six cameras right now are in the city, you will get a ticket in the mail. It'll work just like the red light camera program does now. So it's the owner of the car that will have to answer to the ticket. And it's not a moving violation. It's considered a parking violation. So it's a downgraded violation. But, you know, we're legally authorized to have up to 20 cameras right now in the city. And even more importantly, I think what de Blasio announced yesterday was that he's going to pursue an Albany home rule for the city so that we can ultimately decide as New Yorkers where we want the cameras to go and how many cameras we should have, and that we don't need to go to Albany for that authorization.
Boy, another thing that the state gets to tell the city, how many speed cameras we can put up on our streets. That's unbelievable.
It is. It is. And it's, you know, that was an issue that I worked on personally at Transportation Alternatives and that the organization worked on for over a decade to get the speed cameras in New York City. And we ended up with 20, which, I mean, 6,000 miles of streets in New York City with 20 cameras. I mean, we can do better.
So where are they?
Well, the city doesn't like to say where they are, but the legislation was crafted in a way that the cameras are going to be focused around school zones, near schools and senior centers.
Laura in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. I just want to also very much thank Lindsay and Transportation Alternatives, because without that group, there just wouldn't be a concept of that. Everybody is beginning to understand what Vision Zero is right now. And I agree that as long as we can undo the passivity, which we've done on other issues in New York City, when you get New Yorkers motivated, you can do almost anything. And we are motivated now. And I wanted to raise the other point that the thing that's interesting about Vision Zero is that it's an international movement. It's clearly a national movement and a city movement, thanks to Transportation Alternatives. But it's also becoming very, very much a local movement. And there are groups like my group, Make Queen Safer, Make Brooklyn Safer. There are activist groups like Right of Way. Lots of local people that are working to achieve this goal. And one thing that was so beautiful to me yesterday in Mayor de Blasio's press announcement was the way that he reached out in my community of Queens, and he made sure that he had representatives around him of families from all different kinds of backgrounds. And I worked directly with some of those families. And I will tell you that the fact that they could stand on a podium with the mayor, people who have just been here, lost their child, one family, the Nahians, that lost their child after being in this country for, I believe it was just 3 months, so they're 4 months here now, to stand with the mayor, tell their story. And now many, many Southeast Asians are joining our Make Queen Safer group. It's because of that, because you have a role model of somebody from a typically marginalized group who's taking action because mm-hmm. they suffered. We can do it.
Laura, thank you very much for your call. Let's go next to Weil in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian, how are you doing?
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call. Well, I would like to actually say that it's a shared responsibility between the drivers as well as the pedestrians and the bikers and the what have you that's on the street. You should see people in the middle of the night, mostly sometimes intoxicated, you know, or drunk or what have you, and just crossing the street on a green light for the cars. And in very dangerous areas such as Houston Street or 57th Street or sometimes West Side Highway. And it's extremely dangerous because sometimes it's just before you know it, even if you are on the speed limit, which is very safe, 30 miles is very safe speed limit. It's just very hard to actually to stop on time, especially if the person is crossing in the green light.
Well, I'm glad you raised this. And we will ask our guest from Transportation Alternatives, where is the shared responsibility here? How much can you just blame on drivers?
I mean, drivers are driving a two-ton vehicle, right? So the person that has the greatest ability to cause harm should have the greatest responsibility for our streets. But at the same time, absolutely, I think as de Blasio works towards a Vision Zero, people are going to begin to understand the scale of traffic violence. I don't really think that someone that crosses against the light really understands that 10,000 pedestrians are struck a year. I mean, if you look at the statistics, though, I do have to mention that 30% of killed or seriously injured pedestrian crashes happen when a pedestrian has the right of way, is in the crosswalk, and a driver fails to yield.
But we saw another statistic, and unfortunately, I don't have the citation in front of me. Maybe my producer can look up where we got this from. But it's that 75% of car pedestrian collisions involve the pedestrian breaking traffic rules.
Right. I mean, actually, the factor for that crash, I've looked a lot at this, and we looked at it in the report as well. The factor for that is what they call pedestrian confusion error. And unfortunately, in a lot of times, in the case of a pedestrian being killed or seriously injured by a driver, they're not there to tell their version of the story. So the officer that reports to the scene will check that sort of as a catch-all, as pedestrian error confusion. How could a pedestrian get struck? Oh, they must have been doing something wrong. And the other important thing to consider with that stat is that most crashes have multiple factors. So while 75% of crashes involving a pedestrian involve that catch-all pedestrian error confusion, over 60% of crashes involving a pedestrian or cyclist involve some kind of driver error as well. And that's actually drivers breaking a traffic law.
Will these 20 speed cameras that go into operation around the city today also be able to catch the pedestrians as well as the drivers at these selected intersections? I mean, you can tell who the tourists are in Midtown by who's standing on the sidewalk waiting for the walk light to proceed, right?
Right. But I mean, no, the cameras won't catch pedestrians because they work with license plate reader technologies, and it goes, you know, the ticket goes to the owner of the vehicle. But what can be done in terms of controlling both pedestrian, driver, and cyclist behavior is building the infrastructure that encourages proper behavior, that encourages people to comply with traffic laws. That means building things like bike lanes, like countdown signals, like pedestrian islands, so that we're not leaving it all up to the individual to make the right choice, but we're actually engineering our streets to encourage people to make the right choices to keep all New Yorkers safe.
Let's take another call. Paul in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi, I'm really happy that you're discussing this topic. I've been thinking about it for years. I'm both a driver, a pedestrian, and a biker. And one of the things that I've experienced traveling in other parts of the world where I feel that the traffic in urban areas is a little bit better maintained and controlled is I find that the intersections in New York City to be extremely cluttered. You know, our traffic lights, for example, they're not usually at street level. They're higher. So as a driver, I'm constantly looking up at the light, and I'm also looking at the parking signs, which are very hard to read. Not every street is very clearly marked with the street name, and I find that there's no consistency or uniformity, and all of that leads to sort of a cognitive distraction. And I think now with the addition of bike lanes, it's become even more complicated. And that's one issue I'd like to address. The other one also is in some cities, I think in New York especially, we need more places where people can actually stand to hail a cab. I feel that cabs just suddenly, you know, they see a hand, they just suddenly dart to where the pedestrian is trying to hail them, and it really causes a lot of disruption in traffic flow.
What do you think about those things?
I mean, absolutely. The cities across the world that have achieved better pedestrian, saved more pedestrians than New York City each year have built their roads to be more predictable. I mean, it's all about, you have so many things happening to you as a driver when you're driving in this city. You have pedestrians, you have buses. There are so many things. I mean, that's what makes New York City great, right? Is everybody out on the street, everybody interacting. Anything that the city can do to make the roads more predictable for drivers, to put bicyclists in a bike lane so you know where to expect them, is going to lead to less deaths and injuries.
Here's another street design suggestion from Seth in Summit. Seth, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Okay. Hi, Brian. Years ago, I was struck by a car while crossing in a crosswalk in Summit in an open intersection, and the driver didn't see me. He was turning left. He had a green light. I had a green light. the solution, the accident left me paralyzed from the neck down, and that's a whole separate story. I've recovered from most of that. One of the things that was done following that accident, and something that can be done that you're talking about now, which is street design, is consider moving pedestrian crosswalks off the corners. There's no God-given reason why all the activity has to go at the corner, so that a driver is turning right into a lane of crossing pedestrians, and right. Both of them have green lights.
That's interesting, Seth, and it does raise, though, a question of whether cars might have to stop twice on every block, one for the crosswalk in the middle, and then once you get to the intersection, because there has to be, especially busy intersections, some management of who can turn when and that kind of thing.
Well, another design solution for that kind of situation, which is one that's it's very dangerous. I mean, and it also just makes us fearful for our children and for our seniors, especially when we're standing in the crosswalk and traffic is turning into us and, you know, it seems like they don't even see us. And the Department of Transportation under Jeanette Sadik-Khan has put in what they call leading pedestrian intervals at a lot of those intersections that have proven to be the most dangerous, and that means that the pedestrian has the green first. So they stop the turning traffic for 15 to 30 seconds, let the pedestrian get established in the crosswalk so they're visible and they feel comfortable, and then allow the drivers to start
turning. Oh, yes. One of those popped up in my neighborhood, as a matter of fact, not that long ago.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. Andrew in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi. Andrew, you there?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. We may have to cut you off because your phone is breaking.
I live in Bay Ridge, and if you look at the speeding ticket statistics, we had less than, I believe it was around 70 speeding tickets for 12 months given out. That does not include the highway patrol, but actually by uniformed officers only gave out 70 speeding tickets, and we have well over 200,000 people that live in our precinct.
Yeah, I think that's central to this, Lindsay. You know, the Times pointed out that while the Department of Transportation under Jeanette Sadik-Khan deserves credit for many traffic slowing initiatives like the one you're just describing, plus pedestrian plazas and bike lanes, there was little coordination with the NYPD.
Well, I think that's what was really exciting about the announcement yesterday, that up there on the podium next to the mayor, in addition to all of the survivors and families of traffic victims, was also the incoming DOT commissioner alongside Commissioner Bratton, our new NYPD commissioner. And something that Bratton said that resonated with me, and I think with a lot of people that were there yesterday, was that a life lost is a life lost. That he, you know, in this administration with his leadership, they're going to treat every traffic death and serious injury the same way that they would treat a murder. That this is a New Yorker lost, and that they're going to investigate it, and they're going to do everything that they can to prevent it from happening in the first place.
Traffic fatalities did fall considerably under Mayor Bloomberg, right? So this isn't something that de Blasio is coming in and saying, Bloomberg ignored this problem, I'm going to deal with it. Bloomberg, on his way out, one of the statistics that he was touting as we made things so much better in New York City was a tremendous decline in traffic fatalities. Fair?
Yes, absolutely fair. I mean, the Bloomberg administration showed us how the future could be for this city, you know, what a complete street is. They built the first protected bike lane in America. I mean, traffic deaths and injuries went down about 30% in Bloomberg's 12 years. So it's incredible what he was able to accomplish. But I think what de Blasio said yesterday was, I'm going to do even better.
Are you concerned at Transportation Alternatives that the mayor hedged his support for pedestrian plazas during the campaign, not sure if he wants to keep the one in Times Square and all of that, but now seems to want full community buy-in on this?
I think time will tell. I think there has been tremendous community buy-in for the pedestrian plazas. I mean, in fact, they don't build a pedestrian plaza unless there's a community group that volunteers to maintain it. So pedestrian plazas have been widely supported. And I know that the de Blasio administration is going to have an ear to what the public wants. And they're going to be in communities. And they'll see. I mean, maybe they don't know now, but he'll see.
And he wants to kind of up the requirements for community buy-in, however he measures that, for new bike lanes.
Well, I mean, there has been buy-in for bike lanes from community boards, which are the local government that is charged with making community planning decisions. So, I mean, his administration will continue to see that buy-in. Of course, there's people. It's change, people. You know, things change. There's always going to be people opposed. But, you know, the people in support far outnumber the people opposed.
As we talk about Mayor de Blasio announcing yesterday his commitment to Vision Zero, reducing traffic fatalities to zero in New York City, there have been 11 people killed in traffic already this year in the city, including 7 pedestrians. 20 speed cameras get turned on in the city today by the mayor's announcement. Of course, he won't tell you where they are, but if you get caught speeding by one, you can be ticketed. Tim in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, hi. I agree that we can and should do better on this count. To set the goal of zero is inherently absurdist. The only way to have zero traffic fatalities is to have zero traffic. It negates the responsibility of the individual in a way. There is a lot we can do to improve the situation. But why go for something impossible as a stated goal? I don't get it.
I think the idea behind the vision is that to help educate New Yorkers to understand that more than one death isn't acceptable, that even if we can't get to zero, we're going to move towards the direction of zero, because that's what a city should do. That the first job of government is to protect its citizens, and this government has made loud and clear that they're going to protect New Yorkers from really, I mean, I think what a lot of people don't understand is just how violent and horrific a traffic death or serious injury is, not only for the person that suffers it, but to everybody that witnesses it, and for the survivors and for the families that are involved. I mean, 10,000 pedestrians struck in traffic every year is really 50,000 family members, you know, changed forever.
Tim, are you afraid that the driving experience is going to wind up more cramped or crimped than it should be in order to attain an unattainable goal? Is that why you bring it up? Tim, you still there? No, Tim is gone. So let me ask you a version of that question. Eliminating fatalities is obviously a legitimate public health measure in its own right. But is there also a political subtext to this whole push, the continuing campaign by Transportation Alternatives and others to delegitimize cars as much as possible?
Well, I mean, I'll just tell my personal story in that I'm a native New Yorker. I grew up in Park Slope, Brooklyn, and my father was hit by a speeding driver right by the house I grew up in Park Slope, on his way to work, walking with my 16-year-old sister at the time. So he survived, thank God. I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm one of the family of 3,000 people seriously injured that year that was lucky enough to have their loved ones survive. But my father's life was changed forever. He wasn't able to go back to work. He has a traumatic brain injury. He has epilepsy. He has a heart condition. The driver broke every bone in his body. He was in the ICU for a month, in rehab for 3 months in the hospital.
Wow, so no wonder you're involved in this issue.
Exactly. I mean, 5 years later, he still goes to therapy 2 times a week. I mean, these are injuries that change people's lives. And if we can approach zero, it's going to have a tremendous impact on the lives of New Yorkers.
So how much do you think does have to change for the average driver's experience on the streets of New York, let's say off the highways of the city and on the regular streets?
I think a lot has been made, so much progress has been made with the changes that the Bloomberg administration put into the streets, and, you know, with the small increase in the number of cameras that are out there. But with what de Blasio is announcing, I mean, the changes that are to come, we've only seen a redesign of less than 10% of our streets. So while it may feel like a lot to you, there's a lot left to change. So I don't think we know. I think we have to continue on a more aggressive design, a more aggressive construction schedule for making changes to our streets, for building bike lanes. And then I think you know, we also have to get more officers on the street issuing tickets, and we have to get more cameras. And then once we do that, I think this administration yesterday made a commitment to continue to watch those numbers, to evaluate them for the agencies that are involved, because there's, you know, 6 or 7 agencies involved in maintaining the streets, for all of them to coordinate and work together and make sure those numbers continue to go down at a rapid pace.
So there you have it, Mayor de Blasio turning on the 20 traffic cameras, speed cameras around the city as of today. If you get caught, you will get ticketed, right?
Yep. Expect the ticket in the mail and slow down.
And embracing the Vision Zero concept, aiming at zero traffic fatalities, now that there have been 11 already this year in New York City. And it's amazing that we're talking about traffic deaths more than the murder rate as the first thrust of public safety policy in 2014. If the murder rate is so far similar to last year, it could actually be that more people are now suffering death by automobile than death by gun in the five boroughs. Lindsay Ganson, Chief Operating Officer of Transportation Alternatives, thanks for talking about this with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, you can keep talking about it on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to post and see what other people are posting. And coming up next, Obamacare websites in Spanglish. Stay with us.